from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to the second hour of Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the world and the state of Michigan. On the Michigan Talk Network, our website all over the world is wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up our podcast there. Get links to our sponsors like Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, lucky-buck.com, HHA Sports, the number one name in single pin archery sight technology, MUCC, Michigan United Conservation Clubs, protecting our rights to hunt, fish, and trap here in the state of Michigan. Of course, Michigan DNR announcing on Thursday a third deer found positive in Meridian Township with CWD. All are genetically related, so we are hoping this is just a case, and we don't like the fact that this is a case at all with CWD in Michigan, but the fact that this could all be genetically linked to one family in one small area that may not travel that much is kind of good. You know, if there's a bit of shining light through this whole CWD issue in Michigan, I guess this is it. Also being brought to you by Costa Sunglasses, which I'm very excited to have Melinda Hayes from Costa on the phone with me. She's out in Arkansas. We had the opportunity to meet while down at ICAST in Florida. Costa had a very, very good-looking display, good-looking booth. ICAST, to explain it, is the big show for all of the manufacturers in the fishing industry to come down and show their new wares for 2015 and 2016. And basically, you know, it's like the ATA show we visit or the SHOT show. And this is where we got to meet our sponsor, our newest sponsor, Costa Sunglasses. And we met Melinda Hayes there in person. And Melinda joins us right now. How are you, Melinda?
I'm doing great, although I would like to be up there enjoying your weather compared to the smoldering heat here in Arkansas.
Yeah, well, you know, we've only got, what, 77 today? So to me, that is perfect. That is awesome weather.
You're just making me jealous.
Yeah, but you're in Arkansas. You're like the mecca of duck hunting. How bad could it be?
Yes. No, it's definitely not bad here. And also, I think that we're the mecca of largemouth bass fishing too. So, but I'm a little bit biased.
Yeah, that's, you know, no, you've got a lot of largemouth bass fishing going on, but our guy, Kevin Van Dam, you know, is from here. So I guess we could go back and forth all day long is comparing Michigan to Arkansas. But we get more snow. How's that? So there.
Oh, yeah, you can have all of that.
Yeah, we hear that a lot. But no, it was a great opportunity to meet you and everybody from Costa Sunglasses there at the ICAST show. I had heard about Costa a little bit, and it's funny because up here some people call it Costa. I call it Costa because of Costa del Mar, and you know,
right.
But give us a little history on the company, because it's just they're kind of pushing their way north with more advertising and more awareness, and we're very happy to be a part of that whole thing.
Yes. Costa has been around over 30 years. They were actually founded by anglers for anglers. They found that there wasn't a set of eyewear out on the market that really was built for anglers. And these guys were awesome anglers that fish on the coast mainly, and they use their eyeglasses for sight fishing all the time. And they're like, man, I want to get more for my glasses. I want to be able to see in the water before anybody else and locate fish. And so they actually built these glasses, and all through the years, they have remained true to their core. They're built by anglers for anglers. You know, we've adapted some camo patterns on there, too, and a new sunrise lens, which a lot of people use in the hunting world, but we're still true to the core of angling. And so we want to put out the best sunglasses with the best technology that allows you to see what's out there.
And it's so important, too, when you are fishing, when you're sight fishing. I've had that opportunity when, you know, you're fishing with somebody that doesn't have glasses. You see something, you can target that fish and then hope for the best. But also, aside from having the ability with polarized lenses to see in the water, to see even through some of the chop or some of the clarity issues with water, you're protecting your eyes at the same time.
Oh, definitely. The best thing about our sunglasses is that they block out more harmful rays than any other sunglass manufacturer on the market. Not only that, but our sunglass lenses have color-enhancing technology, which allows you to see those color changes in the water as well, and, you know, looking up on the horizon. I think that it compares to looking at a television in HD versus a television not in HD. That's the best way to describe it. And you would think that all of that allowing more light in and enhancing colors would maybe make your head hurt at the end of the day because you're getting so much vibrant colors. But it's actually opposite. By blocking out all that harmful rays, and it actually allows your eyes to relax more because it's, you know, at the end of the day, you're really tired from being out of water, especially if you're sight fishing. But this actually gives you less eye fatigue. You know, they talk about that in high-end, you know, scopes in the hunting market, but they hardly ever talk about it in fishing. But this actually allows that to happen. You get a better eye release.
You know, and that's it. I find that to be absolutely true. When we put these on, I'm seeing colors I didn't know existed. You know, it's almost like these glasses are making colors up as we go along. It brings a clarity and a level of color to things that you didn't really know were there. And it really has given me some help with depth perception and things of that nature when you're fishing. Of course, you get that refraction in water, but when you use a good, really seriously clear polarized lens, your target becomes easier to see, and you can really focus on what you're doing even more so.
It's unreal. You know, the first time you see people put on coasters that I've never put on coasters before, they'll go, wow, because those colors pop out of them. You know, believe it or not, you have a lot of people with colorblindness. If they put on certain lenses, it actually helps them to be able to see colors that they haven't seen before. And I think that's an awesome testament whenever they can actually see different colors and bring colors to life for them.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Melinda Hayes with Costa Sunglasses. Of course, there's links on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Click on the Costa logos and you can go right through to their website and see for yourself. Costa is very involved, Melinda, with environmental issues as well. They're not just a company making great fishing glasses, but they're very involved. We've had Chad Pipkins, who's a pro angler on the BASS tournament here, who actually, it's funny because he happens to be my neighbor. He lives in my subdivision, and he's also sponsored by Costa. And we had him on here talking about the Kick Plastic, the education initiative to educate its customers about growing ocean trash. And as a brand, their mission is to help kick the plastic habit.
It's extremely important to Costa to give back. And one thing that is near and dear to our heart is protecting our resources of the oceans, of the lakes, and of the rivers that we're able to fish on. It's extremely important. And then you look at all of the research that's been done about how plastic never goes away. It may break down, but it breaks down into smaller bitty bits, but it's still out there. And so our goal is to help educate anglers and educate people who love the water as much as we do about how we can each make an impact on reducing the amount of plastic that goes into not only our landfills, but, you know, some of it blows out of our boat, you know, if we don't properly secure it. So if we can reduce the amount of plastic that we even take on the water, you know, helping one person, you know, to realize that is a win for us, you know. So if we can impact as many people as possible, that's what we want to do.
All right, Melinda Hayes joining us here on Wild Michigan. Stick around, more to come.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors. Thank you from Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, brought to you in part by MUCC, Michigan United Conservation Clubs. Lots of things going on here in Michigan. Lots of, we are winding down our summer, winding down our opportunities to get out and do some fishing as families and as friends, doing some vacation time. And I'm going to put Melinda on the spot just a little bit. She's not seeing this coming, but Melinda, I know you were in the military. I know you served this great country, and I wanted to say thank you on behalf of all of us for your time and your service. So
thank you.
It's greatly appreciated. And, you know, we talk to a lot of the guys that serve this country, but we never really get a chance to talk to the ladies that have served this country. And to us, you're all equally as important. We thank you for that.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. You know, everybody hears my little dainty voice, and I say, you know, that's really a symbol of being a mighty mouth, you know.
Absolutely, like the conversation we had at the ICAST show. Yeah, I'm sure she can still tear down an M16 and put it back together in like seconds. Which I have a hard time with
it's
any of my
you'll
guns.
Never forget, you know, never.
Something now, if you don't mind, what branch of the service did you serve in?
I was in the Army National Guard, which is really neat because I joined in February of 2001 after my first year of college. My mom made me go a year of college before I could join. I had a passion for it whenever I was in high school. Well, my leave date was September 18th, 2001 because they let you go your last semester of college and then you take off a semester to go to the service. Well, we all know what happened September 11th, 2001.
Sure.
And so the world changed, everything changed, but it made my passion to join the military and to serve even more strong. So it was an incredible time in my life. I gained so much from my experience in the military that I will cherish forever, and I think it made me a better person to the core. You know, so I'm always thankful for my service.
Oh, well, and we are thankful for your service as well, and now we get to talk to you here on the show, speaking about Costa Sunglasses, which is something, a company you work for, yet it's a passion, and I know from firsthand experience from using them here on the show that, you know, we have our sponsors on to talk about the products and talk about the uses, but you know, there are people behind these products. And one of the things I noticed when, you know, on social media, which we are on quite a bit on our Facebook page or on Twitter, that Costa is very social media active as well. You had put across or someone had put across an image and a little information on the Seamates, which I really, really like the concept of those, and I'll tell you why, because not only are they great fishing glasses, but they have that little reader feature in there, which a lot of us guys don't want to get the drugstore cheaters out to tie a line on. You know, you don't want to have to reach in for glasses because that doesn't look cool. But the Seamates have a little feature that'll help us with that.
Oh, the Seamates are incredible because how many anglers do you see, you know, as they get a little bit older, you know, who are having to hold their line out to be able to tie their hook on, and they're struggling to even see the eye of the hook? You know, this allows you to still wear your sunglasses and look like you can tie a hook on just like a 15-year-old. You know, part of the thing is that Seamates are readers built in, and they have the exact same technology is all the rest of our sunglasses do, except these have the added benefits of actually letting you see, you know, see up close whenever you would be struggling without them. And you don't have to carry your readers with you and have them on top of your head, because how many pair of reader sunglasses do you lose out on the water? I mean, reader glasses, because you forget where they're at, you blow them out of the boat or whatever, so now you've just got them in your sunglasses and they're ready to go.
Yeah, and that's and a good and the good thing is too, again, guys, we like to look cool. We don't want to wear the little drugstore cheaters on our and I haven't gotten brave enough yet. I'm pushing 50. I haven't gotten brave enough yet to look for some. I'm still my eyes are still okay. But when I saw the sea mates, I was pretty excited. Well, maybe I can get those and still be cool.
Oh, definitely. You know, I think it's just a pride thing. We all don't want to admit that I can't work, but I've been blind since I was 15, so I understand that. And lucky for me, Costa makes sunglasses that also have prescription in them, too, for blind people like me. And so, you know, when my parents got to where they needed readers, I ate it up because they had given me a hard time, you know, since I was 15 about needing glasses. So I was like, ha ha, it comes around. So,
no,
and give each other a hard time.
That's funny because it happens. You know, we're all going to get older, and a lot of times the eyes are usually the first thing to go. And the prescription lenses, the aspect that Costa brings forth prescription offerings in their glasses. I didn't really know until we got involved with the company. Then we were in Ireland in May. We went over there for a fishing trip, and Matthew Solon, who is a guide that guides all over the world for salmon and trout, uses Costa, and his are prescription. And again, another testimonial that, you know, these people swear by these things. And again, the clearest lenses you will ever find ever.
Oh, ever. You know, you look at your prescription lenses that your eye doctor gave you compared to our lenses with the 580 technology, and you'll be blown away. I mean, it is incredible the amount of difference that you get in our technology in the prescription glasses than you would if you just got yours put in, you know, at your optometry shop. And that just really says a lot about the technology and how we take it to the next level. You just thought that you saw 20/20 before. This just makes your eyes feel so much different and see things that you haven't been able to see before.
No, and real quickly, if you don't mind speaking with Melinda Hayes from Costa, link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Tell me about the lifetime warranty.
Oh, the lifetime warranty is just an added bonus. It is incredible because think about your frames. You wear them, you have a lot of wear and tear on them. Well, we back our product. We believe that, I mean, we say that it's built by hand, back for life, but we really mean it. We want you to let us know if a screw comes out or anything whatsoever happens on the frames. You send them back to us and we'll take care of it. And so I think it's just an added confidence in our product that we believe in it, we stand behind it, and we do it for life. And so you can buy a pair of sunglasses and you can still be wearing them 15 years later. I'm on my 14th year in one pair.
Wow.
The best thing about it is if that pair of sunglasses, if that frame is discontinued whenever something happens to it, if it ever does, you send it back to us and you get to pick a brand new pair.
There it is, just like that. All that cool stuff you can find on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And Melinda Hayes, again, thank you for joining us talking about Costa. Thank you so much for your service to this great country. We will, I got a feeling we're going to be hooking somebody up in our listening audience with a pair of Costas. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. More coming your way. Going to speak with Drew Youngdyke from MUCC here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hi, this is Cuz Strickland with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it can tell, granddaddy's gone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, moving along through this weekend, being brought to you by MUCC, Michigan United Conservation Clubs, keeping your rights free to hunt, fish, and trap in the Great Lakes state of Michigan. And speaking of such, Drew Youngdyke joins us from MUCC, and you're out on the ground, a project, one of the many projects of MUCC, but you guys have been working on habitat, working with people all over the state this year, and you're working on a project as we speak. Where are you, what are you guys doing right now?
Well, thank you, Duran. We're actually up at an anchoring point up on Saginaw Bay. What we're doing is we have a bunch of volunteers actually from the Glasson Scholars Program at Michigan State University out in kayaks mapping out for removal where European frog bit is located along the shores of the bay here. And this is part of a larger project where they're going to be bringing in contractors to remove that. So we're going to identify for them where it is. And this is all part of a grant that's funded by the Saginaw Bay Watershed Initiative Network as well as the DNR Wildlife Division.
Now, is this like an invasive plant that is in that area choking out a bunch of everything else?
Right. So European frogbit is a relatively new invasive species, invasive plant to Michigan. What it does, it's almost like spaghetti, and it chokes out all that kind of subsurface habitat in wetland areas. So it chokes out and takes up habitat and chokes out plants that are good for, you know, waterfowl, and takes up area that's good for fish. So really it just takes up space that should be better utilized by native plants that are better for waterfowl and fish. So what we're trying to do right now is actually, throughout the state, get rid of it before it becomes a bigger problem. We don't want European frogbit to become the next Phragmites.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because this stuff, I mean, these plants and things come in, you know, and we know how they come in. They come in by not cleaning boats or, you know, other forms of travel through water. They take root and they become a problem, choking out native plants, native species. And to remove it, this is going to, I'm not sure how you guys are going to do this. That seems to be quite the undertaking.
Well, it really is. And that's why it's so important both to keep it from spreading in the first place, but to really nip it in the bud before it spreads more widely. Because really what you have to do is just mechanical removal. It's like spaghetti. Use a kind of mini rake, and it almost scoops it up like a fork scooping spaghetti. And you have to, you know, manually put it in containers and trash bags and take it to a place where it's not going to spread. So it's very labor intensive to get rid of it. That's why it's so important just to keep it from spreading in the first place. And the number one way to do that, wash your boats.
Now, it's kind of funny. It was introduced into Canada in the 1930s at a time that, you know, we didn't really think about introducing other plants and species. I mean, look, the common carp isn't even native to the U.S. It was brought over by Europeans, and they're everywhere now.
Right. You know, whether it's invasive fish, you know, invasive terrestrial animals like feral swine, or invasive plants, once you get them here, they're hard to get rid of. Same thing with wildlife diseases like CWD. Once you get any of those things here, they're hard to get rid of. That's why it's so important to do everything we can to keep them from getting here in the first place and limit their spread once they're here.
You know, we had this conversation, speaking with Drew Youngdyke from MUCC right now. On Thursday, 10 a.m., what comes across the wire that we have a third deer found with CWD, another doe, five-year-old doe. They are saying genetically all related to the first case they found in Meridian Township. And my good friend Steve Gruber and I were talking about this here on the show, and what we think to be probably the only bit of light in this whole dark cloud that is CWD is because it's in an urban area where deer probably are not going to travel that much.
Well, hopefully, and that's why it's so important for hunters to keep hunting in that area. You know, it's partly about, you know, deer reduction, but more it's about getting the DNR, the carcasses that it needs to sample to make sure it doesn't get any further. You know, so if we can keep it to this one area, you know, once it's in that little core area, it's not leaving. You know, CWD never goes away. But if we can keep it from getting outside of that core area, that's the important thing right now.
Absolutely. You know, again, it's at a small spot in Meridian Township. A third deer was found on Thursday morning, identified with CWD, also identified that is genetically related to the other two deer, the buck and the other doe. So, again, fingers crossed that this is just one line and hopefully we can find them. But it's going to, like you say, take all the effort of the hunters in the area and in the state come October 1st when we start everything.
Absolutely. You know, this is something that the DNR cannot do on its own. There's just no way that it has the resources to do that, to basically kill that many deer that it needs to both limit the spread of it and to find out exactly how far it spread. But with hunters' help, they can do that. You know, so whether or not this stays where it is or spreads, that's going to be up to us as hunters.
Absolutely. Now, Drew Youngdyke, MUCC on the ground, a program working to get European frog bit out of the Saginaw Bay area. What are some of the other projects on the ground worked on this year?
You know, we do a lot of the habitat projects, and that's where we'll take, like, for instance, automyle, which is invasive, or some other trees that are, you know, blocking out sunlight for understory growth. We'll cut those. We'll put them into well-constructed brush piles for rabbits and other small game that will be around for years. We do some hinge cutting that provides both white-tailed deer habitat as well as snowshoe hare habitat up north. You know, we hang wood duck boxes. We've done some river cleanups. We do it all, pretty much whatever the DNR biologists say that is a priority to get done.
Now, I know they were working on some elk habitat earlier this year.
Yep.
As we get ready for the season in Michigan.
Yeah, you know, we did a clearing, basically just cutting down a bunch of trees that were encroaching into an elk opening, because elk, like, especially the bull elk, they like big open areas where they can kind of keep their harem together and keep an eye on the other bulls and keep them away. So we were going through and just cutting down some of the scrub trees that have grown up in that area to keep that open. And actually, a couple weeks before that, we worked with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation earlier in the summer to get out and plant a bunch of mass-bearing trees in a wildlife opening along the edge that will grow up and provide some food for wildlife there in the future.
No, it's all good projects, and the MUCC has been doing this for quite some time, getting people involved, you know, and protecting our right to hunt, fish, and trap here in the state of Michigan.
You know, it's all part of it. You know, when we go out and we have hunters and anglers and trappers going out volunteering their time to improve fish and wildlife habitat, that helps our public image amongst the general public, and that's something that's sorely needed right now. We need to remind people, while they're focused on this whole Cecil the Lion business in Africa, we need to remind people that hunters are the original conservationists and still the true conservationists. But we have to do that with our actions. We have to do that by getting out and setting a good example, following the game laws, volunteering for fish and wildlife habitat, and showing up at camo at the Capitol on September 9th. Because what we're going to be doing there is actually asking the legislature to pass a bill package that will crack down on poaching here in Michigan. You know, and that's always been something that hunters have led the way on.
Absolutely, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment, because that is important. We recently had a case here where four people in Michigan were charged with the illegal trafficking, setting up bear parts, and what really kind of blew my mind is one of the guys was also being charged with conspiracy to kill his wife. I don't know how that all fits into the bear parts, but it was just, you know, it was kind of a shock.
Yeah, the anti-poaching package isn't going to take care of that part of it, but it will definitely take care of the trafficking in bear parts. You know, they have to pay restitution. If they're convicted, they have to pay restitution, you know, for each bear that was illegally trafficked. Well, under the anti-poaching package, that amount of restitution they have to pay back to the state, that fine, that will go up dramatically for bear, for elk, for moose, for other species under that package.
Absolutely. You're speaking with Drew Youngdyke. MUCC.org is their website. A link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. If you miss any of this conversation, join us on our podcast at the same website. And we're going to speak more with Drew here in a couple of minutes. He is on the ground, out in the field, trying to map out some European frog bit so it can get yanked out of there, get that invasive species out of the water. And we'll speak more with Drew here in a couple of minutes. So, Drew, hang on. You're going to talk more with him. You're listening to Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an hour to time. Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez. Your website is wildmichiganradio.com. You're listening to us on the Michigan Talk Network. And again, you can follow us on social media. Follow us on Facebook if you'd like. Look for Wild Michigan Outdoors Radio Show. Or look for us on Twitter at Wild Michigan. I try not to rant on Facebook or in general here on the show. But the other day, I kind of got fed up with the Cecil the Lion thing. With the alleged poaching. And I'm saying alleged because there's been no convictions in this case yet. Okay, the outfitter, the guide, is right now being investigated over in Zimbabwe. But what really upset me is all the attention that is that one lion is giving. A lion that a lot of people probably in the area didn't even know about. But because the media has taken to the side of this case of this lion that's, you know, been protected for 13 years... And all the money that has been put into hunting in Africa that has benefited so many, one lion seems to be taking up all the media's time and attention. And for what? I'm unhappy that if this was really the case of poaching, uncool, completely uncool. But Beanie Babies and showing the pictures of you know, species on the side of the Empire State Building. You know, did they ever in New York show the 3,000 that were killed on September 11th? Did they ever show any of our men and women, service women, pictures of them or on the side of the Empire State Building? You know what? It's gone too far. We need to focus on what's important here in our country. And I honestly think that there are some people waking up to this fact. Is it too late? No, I don't think so. I think we need to take control of our emotions and quit letting the media dictate to us everything that we're doing. So that being said, I'm going to come down off my soapbox, talk about something positive. Drew Youngdyke is joining us here from Michigan United Conservation Clubs. And I bring that up also, Drew, because the SCI Foundation donated $40,000 for UP deer habitat, and that hardly got a sniffle if we hadn't mentioned it. You know, yourself, our website, and others, probably it would have gone unnoticed.
Well, you know, the DNR put out that press release, and it kind of got shuffled in with that. You know, I have a little bit different take on the Cecil the Lion thing, just as far as this. To me, the story isn't in whatever it was that happened in Africa. And you're like, we don't know what that is yet. From some of the African Guides Association, they said that there wasn't a quota for the lion, for any lions to be hunted in that area. So if it was poaching, you know, you're absolutely right. That's uncool. But what's more important about that story is the attention that it's put on hunting and why it's so important for us as hunters to make sure that we're always following the laws in the field, because we're under a microscope because of this right now more than ever before. And to me, that's where that story is with this.
No, I agree with that 100% also. I mean, my dad, you know, we have discussions about this. I don't put myself on any form of level above or over anybody just because of this show or for anything else, you know, but I would hate to be a topic of conversation for the media and say, oh, look, outdoors radio host, you know, forgot to buy a small game license and now he's got five rabbits, you know, burn him. You know, I'm so wary about everything, and now even more so because of this.
Yep, but I think, you know, whether you're the host of a radio show or not, you know, every single hunter out there is now under the microscope, frankly, because the anti-hunters are looking for any little slip-up that they can capitalize on to attack our hunting rights. So let's not give them that ammunition. But you're right, you know, SCI Foundation donated $40,000 to Wildlife Habitat. You know, SCI does great works like that, but there's lots of conservation organizations all across the country that are doing things just like that. In fact, here at Nanquineen Point, there's plaques here from all the money that Ducks Unlimited has raised for all the dikes going around this wildlife area to keep it excellent waterfowl habitat. So that's what hunters do. And we're going to be celebrating that, you know, at Camo at the Capitol. That's why we're there. It's to improve the image of hunters, to make sure that our legislators are listening to us and are aware of our issues, and making sure that they're not carrying these media misconceptions about hunting that have come up in the last couple of weeks.
No, and that's a show of force. We, you know, the date is, I'll ask you that question, and this is a time, you know, that we need to stand together, whether we hunt ducks, pheasants, you know, whether we fish or are archers or trap shooters or whatever the case, whatever it is we do in the outdoors, this is a time that we really need to show our unity and let any other kind of sub issues just be left alone.
Yeah, you know, it's a very critical time for everybody who hunts, fishes, and traps, really, in America right now. Public attention is on us, and that's not necessarily a bad thing if we use it right. You know, we can use this opportunity while everybody's talking about hunting and conservation. We can use this opportunity, and frankly, Nick Pinizzotto of the U.S. Sportsman's Alliance has been doing a great job of this. Use this opportunity to tell the world about what hunters do for conservation. You know, while the spotlight's on us, while we're under the microscope, let's tell everybody about the great things that hunters do for conservation.
You know, and we can do so in a positive manner, too, and not, yep. You know, again, this is going to be a show of collective unity as hunters and anglers in the state to let our legislators know that that we have a voice.
Right. And sorry, you asked me for the date. That's going to be September 9th. It's a Wednesday. Of course, it's during the week. But, of course, that's when the legislature is in session, so that's when it has to be. So that's Wednesday, September 9th. If you can make it there, and it doesn't matter if you're formally affiliated with any group or anything like that, if you hunt, fish, and trap, come to Lansing, you know, wear blaze orange, wear some camo, let them know that you're there, that you're paying attention to what they do. And the issues that we're going to be lobbying them for are really the issues that hunters need to be focused on right now. We're going to limit poaching here in Michigan by stiffening the penalties for that. We're going to be protecting public land. We're going to be protecting the water where we hunt, fish, and trap. And then we're also going to be talking about reducing the safety zone for forms of hunting that it wasn't designed for. You know, like archery, like trapping, like hounding. You know, that 150-foot safety zone around, or 150-yard safety zone around buildings is really made for firearms. So we're going to be talking about one of our resolutions from this summer about reducing that safety zone for shorter range forms of hunting.
Again, important things that, you know, that will probably allow us to do more, you know, and have less, less unwarranted, you know, violation. You know, I mean, right. I'm trying to word this the right way. So, you know, we have more freedom to hunt, but still do so in a very safe manner.
Right. It still keeps it safe. What it really does is it opens up private land access for the landowner to be able to hunt. Because what this means is, let's say that you know you're in a tree stand, you're bow hunting, you have a downward trajectory with a short distance, or let's say that you're trapping, you know, along the side of your own house. Well, if you have a neighbor 150 yards away who doesn't like hunting, they could prevent you from hunting on your own property because they don't like hunting and trapping, even though you're so far away from them, it will never affect them.
Sure.
You know, so that's really what this is designed to get rid of.
You know, and I like it. I like the fact that we're looking into these things. And, you know, and with urban sprawl, we're getting into those areas. We have animals coming into our area where zoning is still allowed for maybe like bow hunting, things of that nature. We still have areas that we can do it. But because we might have some opposition from a neighbor, like you said, or something else, it's kind of a sticking point.
Right. You know, we have more deer coming into urban areas. You know, where they found, of course, the CWD deer was in Meridian Township, where they have an urban bow hunting program, you know, where they have to get landowner permission. What this does is opens up some doors that may be closed that would unnecessarily prevent a program like this from being implemented, you know, in a municipality. You know, we have a lot of deer in Ann Arbor, and they're going through that debate right now of what to do with them. You know, and what this will do is allow those communities to have more options on the table for how they take care of their deer problem. But, you know, along with hounding and along with trapping, it really just makes sure that we're respecting private property rights and allowing somebody to hunt on their own property without a neighbor unnecessarily interfering with it, you know, where it doesn't cause a safety concern.
Well, it's all important. It's important that we get along with our neighbors and we do so in a safe manner. But again, all for the hunting and fishing rights of those here in Michigan and around the country.
Absolutely. So September 9th, Camo at the Capitol.
All right, Camo at the Capitol. I will be there. You can find it on the website, wildmichiganradio.com. Also a link to mucc.org. our friends here. Drew, thanks again. I'll let you get back to your European frog bit.
Thank you.
Appreciate what you're doing, man. Appreciate you getting outdoors. Thanks to everybody at Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, lucky-buck.com. Check the regs out before you put your lucky buck out. But when you do, know that it's Michigan made and it's high quality product. Thanks to Costa Sunglasses. Thanks to HHA Sports. All bringing us here to the Michigan Talk Network. I'm Duran Martinez. This is Wild Michigan.